Chapter 1. Merneith, Queen of Blood. From the very beginning of Egypt's formation as the world's first regional state, female rule was not only permitted, but required. This differentiated Egypt from other parts of the ancient world. A country protected by expansive deserts, stormy seas, and Nile cataracts, it was not threatened by constant invasions and massive changes of population, allowing the same religion, social structure, culture, and language to flourish and develop in a strange petri dish experiment for almost 4,000 years. The result was an extraordinarily risk-averse society with few regicides or coups. Instead of being rewarded for highly competitive warlording, Egyptian elites found more incentive to go along with the pyramidal social structure and the status quo, even to the point of sacrificing their own lives, or those of their children, to see the kingship continue intact. Egypt would always be different from any other state in the Mediterranean, North Africa, or the Near East, because its unique geography and topography forged the most perfect and stable divine kingship the world has ever known. The ancient Egyptian king was unassailable, geographically, culturally, religiously. Even his name identified him as such, Nefer-Netcher, the perfect god. The first kingship had passed from the god Osiris to his son Horus, making each Egyptian king the living manifestation of the falcon god Horus ever after. The king was divine, even in human form, and his lineage was meant to follow from father to son forever. To protect this transfer of power when it was threatened, the female was essential, because her emotionality, her perceived violent temper, scheming, magical abilities, motherly love, sexual desire, was the very tool necessary to protect the next king. A mother would be least likely to raise arms to compete with her own son. A wife, sister, or daughter would be closest to the king without acting as a potential political threat. This is why the richest and most fabulous tombs surrounding the king, from the earliest to the last dynasties, were usually of females. Queens were even given pyramids of their own in dynasties 4 through 6, 2613 to 2181 BC. As well as Dynasty 12, 1985 to 1773 BC. The queen's power didn't compete with the patriarchy, but rather supported it, providing it with strong foundations. For the ancient Egyptians, the masculine and the feminine were two sides of the coin of power. Queens were the king's best assets. This inclusion of the female as an essential part of working government shaped Egyptian mythology and ideology as well. The scattered narrative fragments of Osiris, Horus, and the goddess Isis, from the pyramid texts to the coffin texts, private prayers, and mythological tales, are ancient, forged when kingship was developing along the Nile, when feminine power played a new and integral role in the running of the state, protecting the king from harm, but also allowing the legal and just transfer of power from father to son. The queen mother was the arbiter and protector of this divine and most delicate transition. Indeed, in the last temples dedicated to the divine feminine, in holy places like Dendera's Temple of Hathor, we see carefully crafted and detailed imagery of Isis helping Osiris to be reborn in all its sexual glory. We see the god reaching out his hand to his erect member, ready to recreate himself through sex with himself. But it is Isis who manufactures the circumstances for this miracle of self-recreation to happen at all, facilitating and receiving the god's seed to make the next generation of kings, to conceive Horus, the god of kingship himself. It was Isis who bred and bore Egyptian kingship. It was Isis who acted as the magician who pieced her broken husband Osiris back together after his brother Seth had cruelly cut him up into dozens of pieces. She is the Alpha and Omega of Egyptian kingship. The Narmer palette, a flat stone with figured decoration made around 3000 BC, is one of the earliest documents of Egypt's mighty kingship, and it is surmounted by images of the divine feminine. We see a cow goddess with curved horns. She bears no name.